San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to It's Your Money and Your Life. I'm Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you with 50,000 watts of power live from KFMD Studios in beautiful Kearny Mesa. We are heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast of Seattle when conditions are right on a good night. Every Sunday night here is a good night. Out to the desert, of course. And now it's time for me to introduce my illustrious co-host, the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a philanthropist. He's a marathon runner. He does everything.
I'm a YouTube superhero, Joe.
YouTube superhero. And
42,000 views in 1 week.
Well, there he is. It's Richard Muzio. You just blew my suspense.
Just blew the suspense. That's hey, Joe, it's always me. There is no suspense.
But anyway, hey, congratulations on your YouTube presence. My God, the first one was 20,000 on your first?
I'm like at 19,800 and something on the first one.
Right, well.
And I'm at 42,000 on the second one.
Well, Richard's he's a family office expert. He's an advisor to six high net worth family businesses.
But I've got Google paying me now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Google's paying me.
Wow. Well, this last one was about business success. You revealed three key imperative elements of business succession planning, and it's up over 40,000, right?
Yep. You got to Google Richard Muzio, M-U-S-C-I-O, on YouTube. It's really good. And only two people dislike me, so...
Well, just go to YouTube and look at Muzio.
Yeah, just go to YouTube, Richard Muzio.
Or even our website, iymoney.com.
And you can watch the whole 55 minutes on our website.
Right.
If you can't sleep at night.
Right. No, it's fun. You got some great jokes. That lawyer joke was terrific.
Oh, right? Yeah. I mean, no, the thing about my presentations is if you hate the material, you'll at least walk away with two or three great jokes you can steal.
Tell the lawyer joke. I like that
one. Okay. The lawyer joke is about a buddy of mine who's thinking about selling his business for $20 million. So he calls up an attorney and he says to the attorney, "How much money would you charge me to ask you three questions?" And the attorney says, to ask me three questions, that'll be $2,000. And my buddy says, $2,000 just to ask you three questions? And the attorney says, "So what's your third question?"
I like that. That was really good. Hey, Friday night, we've got a pretty special event coming up, October 5th. It's the premiere in San Diego of The Other Dream Team, which is a great documentary. And our friend Jim Lampley from HBO and NBC Sports, and who's broadcast a record 14 Olympic Games over 28 years, is in this film, as is Bill Walton. And I know you're going to be there and bring some friends, Richard. It's going to be at the Landmark in Hillcrest at 7:10 next Friday. And of course, anybody out there would like to go, don't miss it. The director is going to be there too, Marius Markovicius, who spent 3 years of his life making this film. And I want to tell you, you'll cry the last half hour. It actually happened to the Lithuanian basketball team. The Grateful Dead are involved. There's a lot of patriotism. I mean, there's something for everybody in there, right, Richard?
Yeah, I saw the trailer. I mean, the trailer alone is worth, you watch the trailer, you're like, holy cow.
Yeah.
This thing's going to win awards.
Yeah. And it has to do with the Grateful Dead and the tie-dye shirt. I mean, it's really, really terrific. Another sporting...
But I'll be there, Joe. A lot of the people I'm bringing are going to be very tall.
Good. Yeah, we want USD basketball. And
we'll get some tall people out there.
Good. Just sit them in back so they don't
block. Sit them in back so we can see.
Hey, the Chargers today, my God. Now, this team was like the Forrest Gump of the NFL. It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, because last week they really got embarrassed at home to Atlanta, by Atlanta, 27-3. Today they go on the road to Kansas City, who always gives us trouble in Arrowhead. And we look like a Super Bowl team. We beat them 37-20. God's knocked six turnovers, I think, in the first half we forced. It was really an impressive win. The defense, if the defense is consistent, I think we're going to have a pretty good year.
Yeah, plus the division doesn't look very good.
Yeah, and I think Green Bay won by 1 point today, too. They played New Orleans.
Yeah, they were owed one.
After they got ripped off. Yeah. But anyway, before we get, and we've got a great guest tonight, so just bear with us. Richard, I have a gift for you. Yesterday, I went to this PolitiFest event down at Liberty Station.
Okay, a PolitiFest.
PolitiFest. They had a debate between Filner and DeMaio. They had Scott Peters down
who
there.
Who won the debate?
Well, I think the crowd is rather left to center, so I'll just leave it at
okay,
that.
Gotcha.
But in any case, hey, they had the KFMB booth down there in the B1, Jack 100 booth, you know, for our station was down there. So I go over and start talking with Brooke, who was our promotional director, and her intern, Eric. And they had this wheel you could spin, and they had a pretty interesting board game. And I said, well, let me spin that thing. And they only had one of these. And this was like the grand prize. So
cool.
I spun the thing. I turned around, and the number, I won. And this is a board game, and you'll know why this is important for you, or you'll love this. It's called the Battle of the Sexes.
Okay.
And test yourselves and friends to ultimately decide which is the superior sex, male or female. But this ties in with our big Billie Jean King Bobby Riggs project.
Appreciate that. We all know the answer, Joe. It's female.
It's true.
Thank you.
It's true. So you're going to love that. It's still in the wrapper. And I think you and
this
your
is cool. Battle of the Sexes.
I think you and your wife and your daughters will love that. And maybe your son might want to play too. But you're outnumbered.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it very much.
Well, you got me the Cat in the Hat thing for our big unveiling.
I assume you still have that like sitting on your kitchen table.
Oh, that is it is out there. Right,
yeah,
right.
For those of you who didn't know, I got Joe a Cat in the Hat action toy.
For the big doctor. Well, when you get to the Whaling Bar and see the booth that Dr. Seuss sat in for all those years up until he passed in 91, you'll know why that's important. So, but in any case.
Joe, I think we have a guest tonight.
We definitely do. We have with us, actually, I'd have to say our guest is a celebrity in San Diego. Everybody knows who she is. And our guest here, she's a chef, a restaurateur, an entrepreneur, a healthy food advocate. What else can I say? But she owns the Isabel's Cantina in Pacific Beach and several other restaurants, which we'll talk about. But without further delay, the great and wonderful Isabel Cruz. Isabel, welcome to our show tonight.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. And and before we even get started, I gave you one already. I want to give one to Richard, the Yes on Prop 37 bumper sticker. These are vinyl. They come off, Richard, so please put on your car.
Wow, I'm just getting so many gifts here.
Well, that's important. Now you've been fighting for this proposition, right, Isabel?
Yeah, I'm all about this one.
Yeah, why is this important for this Prop 37 to pass in November?
You know what? It really is just labeling,
mm-hmm.
you know, so if I just want to know what's in my food.
Right.
And I think probably everybody would want to know. And I, you know, we just need to get the word out.
Yeah.
Because the other side has big money behind it. And
well,
we really don't.
It's the big food agribusiness corporations. You all know who they are. And, you know, we should know what we eat. Now, they're one of their complaints is the cost of labeling. But look, this. When I go and buy stuff now, I want to know how much is sodium, how much sugar and sodium are, and I look at that on the.
And that's an absurd argument anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, we had
there's so much labeling to begin with.
Right. But I mean, we had to fight to get that information on there, calories, things like that. We had a fight. I mean, those weren't on years ago either, and they fought that, right?
Well, and the thing for me is, well, why don't they want us to know? If there's nothing wrong, why can't we know what's in our food?
Yeah.
Because there's things that are wrong.
That's
right.
We
all know that.
Well,
and that's not even what it's about.
Yeah,
it's just about.
It's about transparency.
Being aware.
Yeah, it's about transparency.
It is, I heard a story the other day about Calgene, which was one of the first genetically modified tomatoes, where they were trying to come up with a tomato that would hold shelf life. So they did some genetic modification, and they educated the public, and people were clamoring for them. They actually had to limit the purchase, but. But over time, I guess it cost so much to get those to market. It was like $10 a pound to get those to the market for some reason. And they only sold for $1.99. So the labeling wasn't even an issue. It was an economic thing. But
So where's the money coming from that opposes 37?
Well, it's Monsanto and Dow.
Big companies.
Big companies, okay.
Monsanto. Chemical companies.
Yeah. But the polling is pretty good. I saw, I think, an LA Times article that said it's almost 2-1 people are in favor of the labeling. So,
I think it's grassroots.
Yeah.
You know, foodie people know about it.
Plus,
farmers know about it.
Plus, check this out. 50 other countries require the
even
GMO.
Even China. And India.
And we don't. I mean, we lag on, you know. But we're the great USA, I forgot, you know, and whatever. anyway, we need to catch up, and the consumers need to step up, and I think it's going to happen. So
I think if people knew what it was about, they would vote yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand why anybody wouldn't want to know what's in their food.
Yeah. Well, unless you owned a bunch of Pepsi stock. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that on the air.
Or Dow Chemicals.
Yeah, or Dow Chemicals.
Yep.
Well, I mean, genetic modification, I mean, it just sounds
well, it's such a vast thing, you know.
And I guess the real rap is that they didn't do enough human testing before they released this to the market. And, one of the Supreme Court justices was a former corporate attorney for Monsanto before he took the bench, and he did not recuse himself. And this thing only, I think, passed 5-4 to the original case that allowed the patenting of genetically.
But, Joe, they've been doing human testing for years. That's why we have type 2 diabetes and spades and cancer and other issues. Because of the junk in food that's been put into bodies by humans.
We need to know what's in our seeds, our food.
Well, I think there has been some uptick in allergies and in autoimmune disease, you know, autism.
All the stats are horrible.
Yeah. Well, and the whole gluten-free thing, a theory is that in Italy they've been eating pasta for how long? And now there's a whole generation of kids that are gluten intolerant, and so they think maybe that this has something to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, if they're doing something to the wheat that we don't know about, I mean, why are so many people gluten intolerant now?
You didn't hear about it 20 years ago.
No, you didn't hear about it.
Didn't hear about it at all.
No.
Because it probably wasn't an
issue. So with all the wheat that has to be produced, and if they're genetically modifying that, what are they doing to it? And we need to know.
Right. So... Well, hopefully the public will pass. I do think it's polling pretty well, and California hopefully will set the trend for the rest of the country here. And I don't really see, you know, the big issue why someone would, a consumer would be against it. I could see maybe a producer.
Well, the only reason they would be is because they get a soundbite from an ad that the other side is putting on.
Is there an uptick?
And they don't understand.
Yeah. Is there, organic food? There's obviously getting a larger market for organic food, right? And people growing homegrown food.
Well, yeah, and the farmers market, people are just becoming more aware of what they're eating. And if you see the difference, you're going to want the organic food.
Mm-hmm. Hey, this new public market opened downtown. Have you been down there?
No, I think I'm going to go this week. I'm excited
I heard
about
it.
That.
I heard about it.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it's kind of in East San Diego, would you say?
Or, yes.
And it's like a big warehouse type thing. It's only open 2 days a week right now, right?
I believe so.
But hopefully that'll extend. So, but anyway, let's see. We're at 7:17. Kevin, what do you say we put some music on? There's our music.
That's Hawaii 5-0.
All right, we'll go out on Hawaii 5. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life after these announcements. Very nice, Kevin. The Bonanza. The Harvest. Everyone remembers Bonanza on Sunday night. Isabel, you too young? Do you remember Bonanza Sunday night?
Oh, unfortunately, I do.
We quit.
Well.
The song was good anyway. Anyway, we're back with Isabel Cruz. Now, Isabel, let's get into your background a little bit. Where'd you originate and how'd you find your way to San Diego and all that?
Well, San Diego, how'd that start? I had two kids and single mom, moved here out of the blue to start the first restaurant.
But from where?
LA.
Oh, you grew up in LA? Okay. Mm-hmm. So West Coast.
LA, yeah. West Coast. Uh-huh.
Okay, and moved down here.
Yeah.
And then when did food become your passion?
Always was. Always loved to eat. Had a big foodie family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So a lot of
everybody cooked.
Everybody cooking.
It was a big Sunday thing. Everybody getting together and cooking and eating together was our thing.
Excellent.
Yeah.
What were those meals like? Was it Mexican food or was it?
I come from a big Latin family, so yeah.
Wow.
Lots of rice and beans and roasted chicken and flans and coffee and rum. Lots of other things, too.
So you moved down here, and then when did you open your first restaurant?
Early 90s.
Early 90s.
Yeah, I started the Mission Cafe.
The Mission Cafe.
Mm-hmm. The Mission Cafe is with my...
On a Mission Beach?
Down in Mission Beach. That was our first restaurant.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Then Coffee Cup, Cantina.
Coffee Cup in La Jolla.
Yeah.
Now you tell me, when you bought the coffee cup, they had it for 40 years.
Yeah, the woman had it for 40 years. She had one employee that was with her for 30 years.
My gosh.
They're open Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
They mopped once a week, and everything was from Smart and Final.
And closed down the weekends.
Closed down the weekends.
Yeah, including the vegetables.
That's what you call a lifestyle business.
Yes, it was. They were cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you went in. Now the place has totally been modified and improved the menu and everything else. So that's a landmark in La Jolla. And so you had Mission, and you still have the Mission or no?
No. Well, I'm a shareholder there.
Shareholder. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Cantina Pacific Beach.
Cantina Pacific Beach.
Which is right next to Cafe 976 there in Feldspar. If you've ever been there, really cool place. I love the bar. Where'd you get that bar in there? Is that Polynesian?
That's from Bali.
Really?
Via L.A.
Because that menu in there is kind of a fusion menu. How'd you mm-hmm. develop that menu?
Cantina's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Kind of, I think what I do with all my menus is put things on them that I want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So food that's somewhat healthy but tastes good. So not at all health food.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good sauces, to keep it jazzed up.
So you develop those menus yourself, right? All those recipes?
That's what I do.
Wow.
I make up the menus and train some of the cooks.
Yeah.
That's my main job.
Well, that's a real cool place because it has like a Zen temple feel to it. I mean, it's a very cool
place. Yeah, you could come in off the beach, but then you could go in at night and, have your anniversary dinner there.
Mm-hmm. And I think when Governor Schwarzenegger, who's actually on another show tonight, talking about himself and his wife.
And his children.
Yes.
Yes.
But I was down there and someone said one of the network shows was down there filming or taping something with Maria Shriver was there for some event. Do you remember this?
She actually announced her support for his campaign at the restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who would think that?
It was just a fluky thing.
Those were different days between Maria and Arnold, John.
Yes, they were. They were. Well, but that was a fun time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, going back into the 70s, her, Maria Shriver and Bobby Shriver came to our college campus, and I actually interviewed them on radio. So I knew her before all this happened.
She's a cool lady.
Yeah, just for that
thing. Yeah, big women's conference was just in Long Beach last week.
Did she attend that?
She used to host it until mm-hmm. Arnold was no longer governor, so I'm not sure how involved she was this year, but that was last Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I remember in January of 2008.
Great event.
Super Bowl Sunday. I think it was either, I think it had to be late January or early February, but she was hosting an event, or showed up at the very end, but it was Oprah Winfrey hosting this thing for Michelle Obama, who comes in with Stevie Wonder, and they all spoke, and then in came Maria Shriver Schwarzenegger at the end to speak, and this was all about the campaign of 2008, and very impressive event, I thought. But anyway, getting back to food here, so there's Cantina, and now you've got some other, the Pearl, where is that now?
That's in downtown Portland, Oregon.
Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then you have one called Dragonfly.
That's in Ashland, Oregon, another super cool city.
Have you been up there, Richard?
My son has eaten at the Pearl in Portland.
Really?
Has he really?
Yeah.
That's funny. What was he doing there?
He was a student at Portland State University.
How'd he like that?
He really loved the food in Portland.
Oh, the food is
because
amazing.
Because he said it's amazing. Well, he's a musician, too, so he says the music scene and the food scene is just incredible.
And the city's clean, too.
But he said the food is incredible because mm-hmm. People are actually health conscious and they're creative.
Now, how did you get turned on to Portland? You figured San Diego, you go to Orange County.
I didn't even know anything about Portland, and my husband's friend talked us into driving down to Ashland. I don't want anything to do with it. It's too far. I thought, what is it? Like one big farm? I'd never been to Oregon. I didn't know. All we had to do is drive down the center of the town. It was late, too. It was like 2 in the morning. I was like, okay, we can do this. It was so beautiful. I mean, the Northwest really, and it's so opposite from San Diego. I love being in San Diego, but I also love being there.
It's pretty green up there, isn't it?
It's green, and there's rivers, and
there's seasons. You got seasons.
Snow.
And
great produce, different from... We have great produce here also, but, it's different there.
Yeah.
People are different.
So you got not one. You opened not one, but two restaurants.
We have two restaurants there. And then a couple years ago, we bought a farm, a defunct, crazy. It was a at one point the biggest flower farm in the world.
Huh.
And we converted it to organic produce.
This is Stargazer Farm.
Stargazer Farms, yes.
And so how many acres do you have?
60. And wow. it has rivers on three sides. Yeah, it's
oh
a big
gosh.
Deal. It's a huge project. We'll work on it for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
But
well, let's get back to the farm after this break. New sports weather coming up. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life right after this. All right, we are back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life. Over to Richard to thank some sponsors.
We want to thank... Which song is that, by the way?
Oh, that?
That's it, Taxi Theme. Okay, I couldn't place it. Yeah, I couldn't get to sponsors unless I got that out of my head. UBS, Mr. Michael Quaranta and Mr. Drew Freitas. Drew, enjoy your sailing trip down to Saint-Tropez. Good work if you can get it this week, buddy. But anyway, we'll see you when you get back. Rich Gaines and Family Legacy Legal, the best estate planning attorney in town. Let's not forget Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, the CFO firm. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, Paul Polito and Don Epic with Polito Epic Associates. Last week's guest, Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, a fascinating topic that really, really helps businesses like restaurants improve their working capital and cash flow. Sean Puckett with Regions Bank. By the way, Sean, congratulations. You hit your $5,000 goal. A week ago yesterday, Sean surfed 100 waves to raise $5,000 for the charity Boys to Men. Took him 12 hours to hit 100 waves, but he raised the $5,000 and hit 100 waves, and then he crawled home.
Boys to Men to Old Man.
Yeah, so it was Boys to Men to... He was an invalid by the time he was done. And last but not least, our favorite business valuation person on the planet, Carl Sheeler, with Business Valuations Limited. Thank you, all of our sponsors. Very much appreciated.
Thank them very much. Anyway, we're back with Isabel Cruz, who's got a terrific website, isabelscantina.com. If you want to check that out. Your logo's pretty cool. Who designed that?
Thank you. Actually, some college kids from the Portland Art School.
Yeah, it's very cool.
So the Portland, tell us about the farm outside of Portland, because I want to know more about the...
60 acres, right?
60 acres?
60 acres, and two rivers intersect below it, the Sandy River and the Bull Run, and it's up on a bluff, and it's really beautiful. It has five houses on it. Everything needed to be remodeled.
And the prior owners were, what, Dutch botanists, you were saying? Or
I think the first owners were Dutch botanists. Yeah, they domesticated lilies there. That's why Stargazer lily.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
So what are you growing?
We are growing organic produce.
Of all kinds. In other words, you don't specialize on just two or three things? You're growing everything under the sun?
No, okay. We have a partner who's our farmer, Farmer John. That's his real name.
Farmer John.
Yeah, Farmer John. Yeah, and...
Didn't they used to advertise for them on Dodger games or something?
Yeah.
That was a good movie called The Real Dirt on Farmer John, but it's probably a different one.
Yeah, okay. This Farmer John works really hard. Yeah, I got like a really like close eye view of farming now. And I have a whole... Even me being in food, it's nothing like you imagine until when you get into it. It's an amazing, amazing amount of work.
Well, you said organic farming, the challenges are different because you don't want to use chemicals or pesticides to keep away the pests or the vermin. So what are some of the tricks of the...
You know, I don't know what all the tricks... I mean, I know some of the little things that he does, but and I know at the farm, when we first got it, there was so many ladybugs, like even in the house, everywhere, ladybugs everywhere. No, and I'm talking thousands. I'm not talking about like covering walls, and I guess they brought them in because the ladybugs eat other things that are bad for whatever you're growing.
Huh.
So our problem, though, is they're in the houses. We're trying to get them in the greenhouses. Yeah, you know, but that's just one of the little things.
Yeah.
So you use what you grow for your food establishments?
We sell to restaurants in Portland and our restaurants that are there,
in Oregon. Yeah, obviously you can't get the food down here.
No, I wish we could.
Yeah,
because
too far.
Now I want to grow produce in my little bit of dirt in my house in San Diego. No, I think I'm going to do that little urban...
Well, there is a big...
You get an urban garden.
Yes, yeah. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I was out picking squash in my garden this morning. It's so fun. Yeah.
It's amazing. I love when I'm at the farm getting produce from the greenhouse and juicing it and... You know, for dinner, the same thing, grabbing produce and then somebody catching a fish and making the whole dinner out of things that are that we grow there.
Kids are into it. I mean, City College, they ripped out a bunch of lawns, and the students are developing a lot of homegrown.
Well, and I think that's the way we need to go with food. That's how mm-hmm. we educate kids
mm-hmm.
is by doing that. Doing the more they learn about that, the more they're going to appreciate good food.
Yeah, yeah, Joan, my foundation, the Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation, has now contributed to about 40 elementary schools in Oceanside growing their own vegetable gardens.
That's isn't awesome. That cool?
Yay.
Very that's good. Awesome.
Because you know what? Real food doesn't come out of vending machines. No. It just doesn't.
You know what? After looking at what my farmer has to do, what Farmer John, he's not my farmer, but what Farmer John has to do on our farm, an onion should cost $40.
I know, it should.
You yeah. know, when people complain about the cost of organic produce, it's because they have no idea what it takes to get it to market.
Yeah, it's a lot more work.
It's
right?
an incredible amount of work.
Yeah. But there's nothing like eating food that you grew
there's
out
nothing
of the
like it. You can't go back.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't I can't go back. I have to go to the farmer's market when I'm here in San Diego to buy my produce. I can't buy it at the store.
Yeah, I grew corn on the cob for the first time this year, and that sort of ended, you know, because of the season. And I'm like, I can't go to the store and buy corn on the cob now. First of all, it's out of season, but I just can't do it anymore.
No, I can't do it either.
I'll just go without it until next mm-hmm. time I can harvest
them. Well,
that's
the way it's supposed to be.
That's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, that's how it was in terms of the seasons and the natural evolution of how people lived. You had things in season and out of season.
Yes, and our produce isn't supposed to look identical either.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Excellent, excellent. Now, we were talking about the weather up there. Excuse me. How does that compare to down here? Now, Richard, you say your son was up there. He didn't see the sun for...
Oh, my son said when he was up at Portland State once, he didn't see the sun for about 90 straight days.
Yep. But you know what? The thing about that is when the sun does come out after that, it's like a parade.
Yeah,
everybody
that's right.
is so happy. It's like a party everywhere.
Now, do they have like a big celebration when the harvest comes in at the end? Or is there
they celebrate a lot there.
Yeah.
They have a lot of events.
Portland's a really cool town, Joe, because it's
is.
Clean. It's got a great music scene, great restaurants, not just Isabel's, but there's a lot of them.
And it's really community.
Well, I guess it'd be different from, you know, Iowa or Nebraska where they do get a winter. I mean, here we can pretty much grow year-round, right? Isn't that...
Yep.
So that's... actually, California is the largest agricultural state. People don't realize that, but it is.
So what would you tell somebody who's trying to improve their diet by becoming more natural or organic? What's the first thing they should do?
Whole foods, you know.
Okay.
Make your food out of whole foods. You know, buy your grains, your fruits, your vegetables, your proteins.
And make it yourself.
Don't buy things in boxes.
Right.
You've got some cookbooks, too. A lot of information's in there.
I have a cookbook, yeah, and it's all really... You know what? And when you eat that way, when you buy things that way, cooking is simple. When mm-hmm. you don't have a lot of ingredients, it makes it much easier, and the food tastes so much better also. So that's what my book was about, like really simple ingredients, things that anybody could make. And that's the way my restaurants are, too. That's how mm-hmm. I'm able to have multiple restaurants, because it's not complicated.
I tell people, if you have to get out the scissors to cut the plastic, you're probably not eating the right thing.
No, exactly.
So what's the name of your cookbook?
Isabel's Cantina.
How can people get that?
Amazon.
Amazon, okay.
Amazon.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Isabel also is the driving force behind a large annual, is it an Iron Chef competition, or what would you call that? You just have one at Liberty Station, right?
Yes, at Liberty Station. It's called Chef Showdown, and it's two teams of San Diego chefs that compete to create, like, an outrageous meal, and they've gotten so competitive, I can't even tell you. They get together, they practice. They love it. It's a really fun event. And the reason it's a production. Mm-hmm. It's not just a foodie event. Because Viejas is the main sponsor, and there's stages. They bring the sound, the lighting, the big screens from the concert. So it feels like you're being
So you're actually sitting there watching this whole competition go on, and somebody's narrating and
talking.
Yeah,
Sam the cooking guy is the host. It's fun. Bernard from the Marine Room is the head judge, and everybody takes it really seriously, and they do not want to lose.
And it's
nobody wants to lose.
And
nobody wants to lose.
It's called the Chef what now?
Chef Showdown.
Chef Showdown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It just ended a couple weeks ago this year, but it'll be around next year.
So this will be like, what, the fifth annual or sixth
annual? No, this year was the eighth.
Oh, my. Next year will be the ninth then.
Yes.
Wow. So you and a big turnout, a couple hundred people? How many show up?
Yeah, around 500 people show up.
Wow.
And the food's great that you get to eat.
That's great. I bet you have some craft beer on hand and all that, too, right? So,
A couple of mixologists compete also, throw those in. Yeah, that makes it really fun.
We just had Greg Cook on here a few weeks ago, too. I'll bet he's got a hand in this thing, too, I'll bet. Right? In a little stone brewing stone?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It just sounds like some place he needed
to be. Yeah, he's all about the GMO.
Yes, very much so.
Yes, on 37.
So, anyway, now you've got a greenhouse up there, Rich, and you mentioned deer and coyote as being... pests that you had to deal with. Richard, do you have to deal with any of that?
Yeah, we have coyotes. We have coyotes. We have rabbits galore.
Now, how do you protect your what you're growing from these?
You know,
from the. Yeah.
Oh, she's got bigger problems than we have. She's got 60 acres.
Yeah, they eat our chickens. We had 5 geese, and now there's 1.
Wow.
Yeah, do you imagine how traumatized that 1 little geese is? Yeah.
1 goose. So do you have to kind of build fencing now and deal with all, I mean, how do
there's you... There's fencing, you know,
They probably figure a way to dig under and all this, right? And
I don't know how they get there. They're smart. Okay, that's another thing you learn on a farm. Animals, even the chickens. Chickens are not dumb. Chickens are smart. They recognize you.
Really?
No, they do. My sister-in-law picked up a rooster, which is not a good idea, one day. And the next day, it ran after her from across. It remembered her.
That's really? A sign of affection.
Wow. Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Funny.
Well, you know, they can fix those things.
Yeah.
You need to get your rooster spayed or something.
Yeah.
Spayed or neutered, I don't know.
Or cook it.
But.
So, Joe, once upon a time, we had a dog now deceased named Ellie, and we lived in Crown Point near the Crown Point Community Garden.
Uh-huh.
And when the dog was a puppy, it would get out of the house, it would go down to the community garden, it would come back with tomatoes in its mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it liked them.
You mean chewed?
It liked them.
Chewed tomatoes? Or
he'd bring them back like as a gift. She'd always eat one, but she would actually pick tomatoes and bring them back to the house.
Oh,
people in the community
cute.
Garden didn't like us.
No,
it was very cute, though. Very cute.
All right, so there's a Pearl now, this Barrio Star. Now, that's a relatively new one down, your new restaurant on 2705 5th at Nutmeg.
Yeah.
And is that mostly, what kind of menu is that?
That's Mexican.
Mexican, okay.
But, you know, the same style as our other restaurants. Really simple, clean food,
mm-hmm.
homemade tortillas, grilled meats. We make everything from scratch.
Well, that's what sets you apart, I guess, from everything fresh and...
Whole foods.
Whole food, yeah.
Yes.
I wish that store didn't steal that name, but you're...
I know, because nobody gets what it really means.
Yeah,
I know.
So, anyway, we got to take a little break while you folks go raid your refrigerator. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life. Stay tuned. We are back with that Peter Gunn music. Love that, Henry Mancini. Great stuff, Kevin. Thank you. We're back with It's Your Money in Your Life with our great guest, Isabel Cruz, and Richard Musio, the main man of the hour. So, what do we want to talk about for our last segment here? You were at Celebrate the Chef today?
Celebrate the Craft.
Torrey Fines.
It was great.
I went last year.
Such good food.
Yeah.
It's food, it's art.
They do such a good job.
And it's a halfway decent setting.
Oh, God. I know. I took in a little... pool action too. I laid around there. They're great.
I gotta say, the facelift from what it was to what it is now. Congratulations to the Evans group and their whole team, because it's pretty spectacular.
It is. It's great.
You feel like you're in it is a lodge now, and it's a very nice one. But hey, they had the U.S. Open there only. What the heck, you know. But anyway, Richard, what should we talk about in terms of food for their last segment?
Well, I'm just concerned that our illustrious guest is going to move to the Northwest and we won't have a restaurant here. So,
the restaurants will stay.
What's your 5-year business plan? That's what I want to know.
I love opening restaurants. I love projects. You know, I love everything about it. So I love opening them. I don't know how much I love staying in one spot, though.
And you cater also, right?
A little bit here and there. Mm-hmm.
So do you have plans to open more both down here as well as up there?
You know what? I like opening things where I like to be. So yes, either or.
Okay.
I like to be in San Diego. I like to be in the Northwest also.
Do you go by region? I know that it was kind of a fluke that you wound up in the Portland and the Oregon area. But like in San Diego, would you have... like the one on Fifth Avenue, how did that come about?
You know what, just when we find a location that we like.
Do you have to, are actively looking, or are you just...
We're kind of always looking.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Spaces. Mm-hmm.
So what do you think the main reason is that most, let's say 75 or 80% of restaurants do not succeed?
You know what? Honestly, I think people give up too soon. And I also think people get into it because they think, oh, this would be a fun thing. I want to open a restaurant. And then when they get into it, it's a lot of hard work. Mm. I mean, I don't know. Before having a farm, you know, I thought restaurants were the hardest thing to do. And I do. I mean, there's so many moving parts. And it's just, you know, something that you're relying on so many people and the wheels are always turning. You know, mm-hmm. so many things could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So you really never, ever stop. So I could work 365 days a year, 24 hours a day.
But you're right, there's so
much. You know, it never ends.
I mean, from designing the menu to the designing the physical, the presentation of the whole.
Well, and dealing with employees, and you could imagine cooks are standing over 600 degrees, you know, so they get irritable. You know, people get irritable, and, you know, people say things they don't mean, you know, it's just that kind of business.
Let me ask you a loaded question. Regulation, business regulations, government regulation in California versus Oregon. Can you compare and contrast?
They both are bad.
That's what I've heard about Oregon.
Oregon is very similar to California. Oregon is a little bit better than California, I have to say. California is ridiculous.
What are they toughest
on? The red tape is just absurd. You know, it's just hard opening a small business these days. And when I started 20-something years ago, maybe it was a little bit easier, you know, than it is now, but that's another thing. People don't have any idea what it takes to do your own thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you never stop working.
Yeah. Have you seen this TV show where this guy comes in and he'll take a restaurant that's underperforming and he completely guts it? And it's kind of interesting. I wonder
it's
how those places
show.
Do long term. I guess they...
I don't know. They don't have a show on that.
But they've done some... it's interesting. I mean, I like the concept and I like the show. Yeah, have you seen it, Richard, or not? Yeah,
I don't really watch TV.
It's on the Food Network.
I don't have time, Jeff.
I know, I don't watch much TV.
It's like, who has time for that?
Hey, we need a reality show about Isabel and her whole, everything she's juggling and all her different locations. Wouldn't that be fun?
No.
Hey, we could bleep things. It's all right. It'll be good. But you're right. I mean, it's not just, I make a great bowl of chili, let's open a restaurant. It's so much more than that because you've got, obviously, you want to make a profit, and a lot of people...
And that's what's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish that I could have everything the way I wanted it in all of my restaurants, but you're restricted if you want to make a profit, just like you said.
Yeah.
You really are. You have to balance things and do the best you can.
Mm-hmm. So, but, and that comes with... I guess you need good business sense as well as being gifted in creating good food and serving it, right? So it's that's why businesses, restaurant is so tough. And,
restaurants get taxed to death. That's another thing. That's probably, you know, payroll taxes and, you know, it makes it so, I mean, I'd rather pay my cooks a little
bit
more.
Yeah, I mean, just the compliance you have to do to report tips properly.
Oh, see that?
Okay. It's like, holy cow.
You know what? And it's you lose sleep over those kind of things. And, you know, you could be breaking rules that you don't even know exist, you know, and you feel like a criminal when you're not really doing anything wrong, that you don't know that you're doing anything wrong, because there's so many rules and regulations that you can't possibly know what they are.
So if someone did want to open a restaurant, what would you recommend first in turn before they, is there a course they should take or a book they should read or
There's probably a lot of that they should. I didn't do any of that. I was completely ignorant going into it, and I think a lot of people are, you know. But, I mean, you know, if you're somebody that you've been in the business, you kind of know a little bit, you know, and you know what you're getting yourself into. But if you're going in blind...
Yeah,
it's a tough business, and there's a lot of competition. And now with the economy, too, I mean, so many restaurants are opening. And, you know, a lot of really, really good ones. And I think especially San Diego, I think, has sprung up a good crop of restaurants within the last few years.
Yeah. North Park, that whole area has been revitalized with some really nice restaurants. And right, and what other regions would you say?
Yeah, you know, that little Encinitas area has some great restaurants. Even Bankers Hill, you know, has a few restaurants that have opened up, you know, within the past 3-4 years that are great.
Well,
so.
Yours, and yours in particular, too. So that's great. Well, and you know, San Diego should try to develop a lot of these things. I know that Greg Cook mentioned that we're one of the meccas for the craft brewing
industry. And that's true. People don't know that. I love to say that when I'm in Portland because they think they do everything better than us. But I think San Diego has more craft breweries.
Yeah. I heard the mayor, who will have on this show November 21 for his exit interview, he said we have 72 of them. So anyway.
I think it's November 18th.
November 18th. Yeah, I think that's it. But we'll get you, and we're going to have Scott Pierce. Anyway, Isabel, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It was fun.
Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
It was. Richard, thank you. You have a great week.
Thanks for the gifts, Joe.
My pleasure. Hey, and we're going to all be down at the Landmark next Friday.
This Friday for
the other Dream Team. Anyway. Thank you to Kevin Terrell on our board tonight. Thank you to our con executive, Craig Blanke, and to Dave Sniff, the programming genius of the KFMB radio stations. Thank him very much, and you have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday night. Good night now.
Diabetes and high blood pressure go hand in hand. In fact, 60% of diabetics have high blood pressure. High blood pressure can lead to heart disease and stroke in many diabetics. You can effectively manage your high blood pressure the same way you manage your diabetes, by testing. For a limited time, Diabetic Health Agency is offering a free 2-in-1 monitor that checks both your blood sugar and blood pressure. That's right, test your blood sugar and blood pressure at the same time when you join our program. This special offer is available to diabetics that have Medicare or private insurance. So now you can get the state-of-the-art blood glucose monitor and blood pressure machine in one device delivered to your home at little or no cost to you. If you're a diabetic and you're covered by Medicare or private insurance, call the Diabetic Health Agency today and get your free 2-in-1 monitor. 800-819-8329. 800-819-8329. 800-819-8329. That's 800-819-8329.
We follow the story. They're going to be bumped.